Hey, thanks for joining us on the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. If you'd like more information on C3 Church, please visit myc3church.net. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's exciting. How's everybody this morning? Everybody good? Fantastic. Why don't we just stand to our feet right now in the presence of Almighty God. We're just going to pray. I want you to press into Him. James 4:8 says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So draw near to God this morning right now. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being in your presence, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this morning, we lean into you. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful things in your word this morning. Open our ears to hear your word and open our hearts to receive it. Do a great work in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. All right, turn to your neighbor, give him a high five. Say, good to see you in church. Grab a seat, everybody. We got a great series this month we've been looking at on the subject of faith. Last week, Pastor Phil was preaching on faith is, and we looked at Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It was absolutely fantastic. This week, we're going to be looking at the subject faith in. Everybody say faith in. Now, we've all got faith in stuff. We've got faith in other people, and it's good. You know, we have faith in our family and our friends and our church and all that sort of stuff. It's awesome. But you know what? I'm just reminded of Jesus who came and he was preaching one day by the side of a lake. And there's this big crowd and they're pressing in on him. So he asked Peter, can I just get in your boat? Just put it out a little bit. So he gets in Peter's boat. He goes out a little bit. And then the crowds all around him on the seashore and the wind is coming off the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is speaking and his words are carried by the wind to the people in the audience. It must have been an incredible day. And then he turned to Peter at the end of it and he said, okay, go out into the middle of the lake, put down your nets for a catch. And Peter said, look, Jesus, he said, we've been fishing all day and we haven't caught anything. I mean, because Jesus is a carpenter. What does he know about fishing? Peter's been doing it all his life. But he said, you know what? Nevertheless, according to your word, we'll go out and we'll set our nets down. He puts his nets down, gets this huge catch. He's never seen anything like it. And there's snapper, barramundi, great whites are leaping out of the ocean. It's Moby Dick, you know, the blue whales, the whole works. No dolphins though, of course. No, none of that. But anyway, and so he's got all these fish and he's pulling them in the boat's full of, and the boat's beginning to sink. It's got all the stuff in it. So he whistles and James and John come out in their boat. They're his partners and they together fill their boats with fish. They get them to the shore and they get out and Peter falls at Jesus' feet and he says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. And then Jesus said this, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And right then, and I want to be preaching about the person of John, the Apostle John, and his personal faith walk with Christ. Because, you know, it's great to have faith in things and in people, but above and beyond everything else, our faith has to be in the person of Jesus Christ. Some of us have been in church just for a couple of weeks. Some have been in church for many, many years. But you know, I was just reading before I came in the auditorium this morning, just sitting there having a quick read. Jesus said in Matthew, because of wickedness, the faith of most will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. It's great to have faith and stuff. And John, standing there in that moment of time, he came to the crossroads in his personal world and he had to make some decisions and he had to make them quickly. And the Bible says this, John left his father. He loved his dad, had faith in his dad. He left his dad, left his boats, his business, left it behind, turned away from the greatest catch he had ever had in his life, left it to rot on the lake, next to the Lake of Galilee, left his money, left his job, left his family because his faith in Christ superseded everything else. And he followed Jesus down the road into the paths of eternal life. And this morning, let's be prepared to put God first and Jesus first, because above everything else, our faith has to be in Jesus. Just turn with me in your Bibles to John's Gospel. And as we look at the journey of the Apostle John, the first words he wrote in John chapter 1 and verse 1 is just magnificent. It's awesome. And he says this, and I'm reading from Pastor Chris's Every Woman Bible, free plug here, here it comes. It's awesome, so it's got to be anointed, right? It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, of all mankind. Verse 11 says, he came to his own, the Jewish nation, and they did not receive him. But then in John 1:12, it says this, but to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power or the right to become the children of God. What an opportunity we have to be the children of God. And so we're going to look at John's personal faith journey this morning. The Apostle John, you know, he actually didn't start off following Jesus. He started following John the Baptist. And he was one of the disciples of John the Baptist. And so he's sitting, and Jesus described John the Baptist later on. He described him as the greatest man of the under the old covenant. So greater than Isaiah, greater than King David, greater than Abraham, greater than Moses. John the Baptist was the greatest of them all. And John the Apostle, what a thrill it would have been to sit under his ministry as he preached repentance to the nation of Israel. But one day, John the Baptist sees Jesus and he says this, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And whilst John had faith in John the Baptist, he had to leave John the Baptist behind and follow Jesus. And he went to him with Andrew, and he said, and Jesus turned, he said, what do you want? And John and Andrew said, Lord, we want to see where you're staying. And he said, come and see. So they spent the day with him, and that was the beginning of this incredible relationship between Jesus and the Apostle John. Now, I love a good bromance. Anybody else? I mean, Wild Bill Trestrail and I, we're like Milo and Otis. We're like those two guys in Miami Vice, Crockett and Tubbs. I'm Crockett. Yes, and you know what, and all this stuff. And, you know, like Lethal Weapon. Come on, Mel Gibson, Danny Glover. It's, oh, I love a little bit of bromance. And all the guys said, it's gone quiet. Come on, boys. Come on, boys. Yeah, but this is one of the greatest bromances of all time. Can you imagine what it would be like being one of Jesus' disciples? Turning up at the Sermon on the Mount and hearing the greatest speech in the history of the world. Walking with him and seeing dead people come back to life, blind people seeing, lame people walk. Can you imagine what that would have been like? It would have been fantastic. But also, just to hear the words of Jesus. And John began to realize, wait a minute, Jesus' message is actually all about himself. Because as God appeared to Moses and said, look, I want you to go and set my people free. And Moses said, who will I say sent me? He said, say, I am who I am. And here John began to hear Jesus, because the Bible says, in him the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. Later on in John's Gospel, he says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And so he begins to hear Jesus saying the great I ams that you find in the Gospel of John. In John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. In John 9:5, he says, and this is John's hearing all this stuff and writing it down. Jesus speaking, I am the light of the world. In John 10:7, he said, I am the door of the sheep. And then as they're standing at the graveside of Lazarus, and Jesus says to Mary, do you believe your brother can rise from the dead? She said, I believe at the resurrection on the last day, he will rise from the dead. And then Jesus looked at her and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the I am, guys. This is God in the flesh, the incarnate Godhead, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And put your hand up if this is you. And whoever lives, put your hand up if you're living, you know, hopefully you're alive, and believes in me, put your hand, will never die. Husbands, turn to your wives and say, good news, I'm never going to die. It's awesome. I'm going to live forever, baby. Yeah. It's awesome. And so the great I am, Jesus is the great I. And he said, later on he said to the Pharisees, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. He's always been there. And can I just say this? Doctrines will come and go. The latest theological fad, and I've seen a bunch of them, and it's awesome. Most of them are absolutely awesome. Moves of the Spirit will blow in and blow out. They're awesome as well. Personalities and ministries will come and go, and the vast majority are absolutely awesome. But guys, our faith isn't in them. Above and beyond that, our faith is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we give him a hand? The author and finisher. Come on. That's what it says in Hebrews. He said, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul writes to the church of Corinth, he says, Paul called to be an apostle. But they were getting caught up in personalities and I'm for Peter and I'm for Paul. No, I'm for Apollos. And he said, what is Paul? What is Apollos? Only servants through whom you came to believe. So these people, we're nothing. Because it's all about the person of Jesus Christ. And thank God for great ministries. Thank God for great doctrines. Although Jesus said to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, and in them you think you have life, but they are which speak of me. It's all about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And so John goes on in life. These three incredible roller coaster years, and it's awesome. But then sometimes it's not so awesome. At the Last Supper, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And Peter's looking around, oh, gee, is it me? I'm getting worried. He was always worried. So he thought, who can I get to find out who's going to betray Jesus? I know. I'll ask John. And he looks over, and the Bible says this, John at the Last Supper, where was he? He was sitting next to Jesus. But how was he sitting next to him? He said, the King James says, he had his head on Jesus' breast. That's about as close as two guys can get. You know what? And when you got your head there, you can hear the heartbeat of Jesus. And Peter nudges him and says, find out who it is. And John says, Lord, who is it? And he says, the one who puts the bread into the dish. John was the one. John was there at the Last Supper. Jesus gets arrested. He's on trial for his life. 10 of the disciples have scattered. Peter's standing outside around the fire. Where's John? The disciple whom Jesus loved. That's who he describes himself as in his gospel. The disciple, where is he? He's inside the room where the trial is being held. He's right there with Jesus. And when Jesus is being crucified, the disciples are nowhere to be seen. But every woman is there. Every woman who was following Christ stood at the foot of the cross, but standing with them, there's the Apostle John. And he trusts in Jesus, but you know what? Jesus trusts in him. And he looks down and he says to Mary, his mother, "Mother, behold your son, John. John, behold your mother." And he entrusted his own mother into the care of the apostle that he loved the most, the Apostle John. Later on, after the crucified Christ, we get the resurrected Christ. And the boys are struggling with their faith and they're out in the boat, fishing again, thinking it's all over. And a figure appears on the beach and says, "Put your nets down for a catch." They put their nets down. All these fish jump into the boat. And John looks out and says, "It's Jesus." He's the one who recognized him. Why? Because they're tight. They got the bromance. Look at this guy here. They got the love. Come on. They're tight. It's awesome. He recognizes him. And then you know what? Then you get the book of Acts and Jesus ascends into heaven. John's there. They're in the upper room. The Holy Spirit comes down. John's there. Later on, great ministries arrive and go. Philip, the evangelist, comes. John's still there. Stephen, the great Bible teacher and miracle worker, arises as the first Christian martyr. John's still there. Barnabas and Silas and Timothy and the great Apostle Paul arise. These incredible, that eclipses John completely. But you know what? He's good with it. Because it's not about the title. It's not about who's doing what. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's got nothing to do with all that. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. It's got nothing to do with the stuff. It's got everything to do with him. And then you know what? He's an old man and he's exiled to the island of Patmos. There he is. He's worse, but he's still worshiping God. He's the last surviving apostle. And then in the book of Revelation, you just turn over there to Revelation chapter 1. Suddenly, he's seen Jesus the man. He's seen Jesus being crucified. He's seen him being resurrected. He's seen him ascending, but now he sees him glorified. And in Revelation 1, he gets this incredible vision of Jesus. And Jesus begins to speak to him, and we get a couple more I ams from the glorified Jesus. And he says this, Revelation 1:17, at the end of the verse, he says this to them, to John, "I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." Guys, I want you to know this morning that the stuff you're believing God for, the doors that you want opened in your personal world, Jesus has got the key for it. What are you believing God for this morning? Keep the faith. Keep the faith. What are you believing God for? Financial breakthrough? Breakthrough for your business? Relational breakthrough? What are you believing? Healing. The peace of God that passes. All that stuff. Jesus has got the key. He's got all the keys. But it's awesome. And so and then he says, "Listen, I want you to begin to write. And I want you to write a letter to the seven churches in the province of Asia." But here's the great thing when you're preaching or when you're writing. The person who's the greatest recipient of your sermon is actually you. Because I was researching this stuff for the sermon and I downloaded all this information, all the I ams in Christ and all this stuff and all this, and I didn't use any of it. I got piles and piles. I was writing, praying, writing stuff down on my phone and getting it all together, but 90% of it I haven't used. You're not going to get it, but I've got it. But John's there and he's writing this stuff. And he has to write a letter to the church at Ephesus. And Jesus says, "You know what? You're correct. You're doing everything right. You're fantastic. But I've got this against you. You've left the place of your first love. Remember the height from which you've fallen. repent. Do the works you did at first. So remember, repent, restore, the three R's. It's awesome. And I can imagine John writing this and going, God, I remember when, Jesus, I remember when I was walking with you. I remember when I was by the Sea of Galilee and I left it all behind. I'm recommitting myself to loving you with all my heart, my mind, my soul, and all my strength. That's awesome. This is, now listen, I want you to write a letter to the church at Laodicea, and he says this, I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. And again, in Matthew, Jesus said, the love of most will grow cold. What does that mean? It used to be hot. But life and stuff and disappointments, you've got to overcome disappointments. Every time I look in the mirror, I get disappointed. But you gotta overcome it. You gotta stuff happens in life. But he who endures to the end will be saved. But it's not just, oh, I'm gonna endure. I've got to sit through another message by Mark Saundercock. The last time I preached at the 10 a.m., so much rain was coming in the auditorium, the lights weren't working. We had to shift it to the glass house. I preached to the glass house. So if ever you're in drought, I've got the answer. Get the love doctor to preach. Come on, and it'll rain for sure. But anyway, here we go. And so he says to the church of Laodicea, I know your works. You're neither hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And I can imagine John going, God, I want to be hot. Fan into flame the gift that's within me. All the love that I used to have. God, do it again. Make me a bigger person. Anybody today? Come on. Give me some. Come on, make me a better person. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to be that person who at the end of their life is going better than what they were when they started, because it's not how you start, it's how you finish that count. Amen. Come on. And then in Revelation 3:20 to the church at Laodicea, they must have had a few problems. He said this, and he's writing to the church, mind you. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me knocking, open the door. I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He's not, and you know what? Can I just say, if there's people here and you've never met Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you the opportunity to raise your hand and say, you know what? That's me. I want to have faith in Christ. And it's awesome. And that'll happen in a minute. But here's the deal. Actually, he's writing to the church. Because we've got so much stuff in our lives. And there's no room at the inn. And we've got all the stuff. You know what? Sometimes we need to get rid of some stuff. And we need to make time for Jesus. He's knocking. And he wants to come in. And I can imagine John going, you know what? God, I'm opening the door of my heart again to you. I want you to come inside again. And make your home with me. But here's the great thing. Here's the bonus. Here's the time extension. If you open your door, God will open his door. And in Revelation chapter 4, we get this incredible thing. And John looks straight after that I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here and I'll show you what will soon take place. I think God's saying to this church this morning, guys, look at me, come up here. Come up. Come up another level. Step out of the boat. Step out of your security and your stuff. And it's great, but have faith in me. Step up to a new level in God and believing him for great things for yourself, for your business, for your health, for your family, because you've got to have faith in him. Step up in Jesus' name. You know what? There was this way back in 1859, there was a guy called Charles Blondel. He was the most famous Frenchman since Pepe Le Pew. Yes, 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 so beautiful.
And Charles Blondel, he was a circus performer. And he arrived in New York. But he heard about the Niagara Falls and he thought, I must go and have a look. Because the key thing he used to do, he was a tightrope walker or a fumblist, they called them. And he was a tightrope. And he saw the Niagara Falls. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk across the Niagara Falls. This is 1859. It's in Wikipedia. It must be true. And so 25,000 people turned up from New York, Boston, Chicago, Detroit, from Canada. Bunch of people on the Canadian side, bunch of people on the American side. They're standing around just waiting for him to fall off. And he gets there and he says, how many of you believe I can walk across the Niagara Falls? And they get a few people, well, maybe. And he goes, all right. And he gets this big thing. What is it? Pole, big pole. Yeah. And he gets it and he starts walking. He's walking across. And everyone's, wow, this is amazing. And he's walking right over the middle of the Niagara Falls. He goes, whoa, this is amazing. Then he turns around, gets to the other side, gets to Canada, turns around, comes back. They're all, hey, this is awesome. Then he goes, how many of you believe I can do it with stilts on? They go, no, it's impossible. Gets stilts on, walks in stilts over the tightrope, over the Niagara Falls. They go, no, this is amazing. This is, by the way, this is not a sermon illustration. It's a true story. Okay, here we go. So he comes back with stilts on. Then he takes the stilts off. He says, I'm from France. I believe we are the greatest chefs in the world. He straps a little oven on his back, walks across, stops in the middle, above the middle of the Niagara Falls, gets the oven down, cracks an egg, makes an omelette, and then puts it on a rope and sends it down to the boat 160 feet below. Then he walks back. He says, how many people believe I could walk blindfold across? They go, yeah, I suppose so. Gets blindfold on, walks across, walks back. Then he gets out a wheelbarrow. Now, we're going to get a photo of the wheelbarrow now. Here he is. No, put the right. Yeah, there he is. How many people believe I can go across with the wheelbarrow? So, a few people, I suppose. He goes across with the wheelbarrow, comes back. And then he says, I've got a sack of potatoes. I will put it in here. And then he goes across. How many people believe that I can walk with a sack of potatoes across the Niagara Falls? And they go, yeah, we're awesome. And he walks back and he says, isn't it fantastic? How many people believe I could put a man in the wheelbarrow and we could walk across the Niagara Falls? Everybody, yeah, yeah. He said, good. Who would like to come? Who would like to come? It's 25,000 people. Quiet. You see, it's one thing to believe in the guy on the tightrope. It's another thing to join him on the tightrope. Come on, it is. I'm on a tightrope right now. But you know what? Jesus is inviting you this morning. He's saying, hey guys, get in the wheelbarrow. Come on a journey with me. Come and walk through the valley with me because there's something, there's a table at the end of it set just for you and your family if only you'll get in. And one guy in the crowd put his hand up. It was his manager, Harry Chopin. He said, you will not fit in the wheelbarrow. Get on my back. And he got on his back. And he carried him across on his back. And then when he got to the other end, and there was a dip in the middle, and he had to run down the dip, and he couldn't get back up the other side. He said, get off right now. Harry said, do I have to? He said, get off now, Harry, please. So he got off, and this Harry is standing with the great Blondel in the middle of the Niagara Falls. I must rest. I'm too tired. He says, get back on. He got back on. He put him on his back, and then he ran the rest of the way across the Niagara Falls. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the buzz of walking with Jesus Christ. But we've got to get out of the boat if we want to walk on water. Who wants to go to heaven? Who wants to die? Anybody? No, I don't think so. But you know, sometimes you gotta do one to get the other. Guys, this morning, it's all about faith in Jesus Christ. It's all about faith. Not faith in stuff, faith in people, faith in things, faith in the government, faith in finances. It's all good. But this morning, it's faith in Jesus Christ.
Hey everyone. What a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason. that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.